Shabdev's teachings, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 15. Putransh cha shishyansh cha nipu guru va maloka kamu mad anugrahata Itam vimanyur anushishad atajgyan na yujayet kamasu karma mudhan kam yujayan manujo anitam nabeta nipattayan Nashta Dishan Hi Gate Putranscha Shishyanscha Nipo Guru Va Maloka Kamo Mad Anugrahata Adam Diman Yur Anu Shishyad Atajyan Nayo jayet karma sukarma mudhan. Kamyo jayan manujor tam labeta. Nipatayan nashta drisham higarte. Bhutan. The sons, cha, and shishyan, and the disciples, cha, and nipa, the king, and guru, and the spiritual master, and va, or mat loka kama. Desiring to go to my abode. Mat anugraha artha. Thinking that to achieve my mercy is the aim of life. Itam. In this manner. Vimanyu. Free from anger, anushishyad, should instruct, atat gyan, bereft of spiritual knowledge, not yojayat, should engage, karmasu, in fruitive activities, karma mudhan, simply engaged in pious or impious activities. Come, what? Yojayan, engaging. Manuj, a man. Artam, benefit. Labeta, can achieve. Nipattayan, causing to fall. Nashta drisham. One who is already bereft of his transcendental sight. He, indeed, gate, the whole. Translation and purport. If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he should consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and the chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, one should continue giving instructions even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service, by all means. They should always avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son, or citizen, who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 26, Nabudhi Bedam, in Janayed, Agyanam, Karma Sanginam. Joshayat Sarvakarmani Vidman Yukta Samacharan. Translation, let not the wise disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to fruitive action. They should be encouraged not to refrain from work, but to work in the spirit of devotion. Umagyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shoka. Shri Rupam Sagajatam Saganagnatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadhutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditam Scham. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopi Hisha Gopi Kakanta Radha Kanta Namastu Te Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Brindamanishvadi Vishravanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanjakalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Pati Tanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Nama Namaha Jasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gobhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Putranscha, Shishanscha, Nipo Guruva, Maloka Kamo Mad Anugrata. Itam vimanyu anushishyad atajgyan na yojayat karamishu karma mudhan Kam yojayan manujo ritam nabeta nipattayan nashtadrisham higarte. So there's basically two categories here. There are the controllers and the controlled. In the category of controllers, you have the king and the guru and the father. And the controlled are the citizens and the disciples and the children. So what's the king's business? It's explained by Rishabhadeva. He should lead the citizens back to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, back home. This should be the king's desire, himself, or the guru, or the parent. I want to go back home, and I want to lead those whom I control, I want to lead them also to this goal. I want to achieve the mercy of Krishna in this life. This is my aim. Rishabh continues that, saying that sometimes the disciple and the children and the citizens won't follow these instructions. But then the guru, the king and the parent must not get angry, but should go on instructing the persons who are in the ignorant position, the persons who are learning. Those who are learning are described as sometimes being unable to follow the instructions. Part of the reason is they can't follow because they don't have full knowledge. They're not enlightened. They're still learning what to do and what not to do. So these people who are ignorant, they're engaged in varieties of activity, sometimes pious, sometimes impious activity, looking for some happiness by gaining something from their work. But if that's all they're doing, that's not good. The leaders, the controllers of society, should lead them away from this engagement in just pious and impious activities, because that leads to bondage, karma is operating and will entangle such persons in more lives, repeated birth and death. So there's no profit. There's no profit for the person if he just comes back in another body. It's compared here by Rishabhadeva to leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in, pushing someone into a well. So it's not a good thing to do. No one who wants to do good for another person is going to, especially a blind person, is going to lead him to a well and then push him into a hole and say, you know, have fun. So the way that Rishabhadev is teaching is also explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport. Don't just encourage people to give up work. Don't tell them, stop all your activity. That's not good. But encourage them to offer their work to Krishna, to work in a spirit of devotion. They're attached to getting something from their work. So the guru or the king or the parent should show them how to offer their work, offer the results of their work to Krishna, and get some transcendental connection to Krishna, and get some vision where one's going. If you were going to take a boat somewhere, you were going to sail away in your boat, you'd want to know, you know, where the harbor is. Which harbor are you heading for? You have to know that in advance. You don't just take off on the ocean and say, well, we'll see where we end up. Who knows? You have to have the goal in mind. And that way you can catch the right wind. You can know, oh, this wind is going to bring me in the direction I want to go. So the Shastras compare the wind to the instructions of the spiritual master. Those are considered favorable breezes that will take the ship to the harbor, to the destination. So the kind of control that is being spoken of here, the guru is called here a controller, along with the king and the parent. They're controlling, but not in an unfair way, not in a way that is distasteful. The guru controls the disciple because the disciple is submissive. There's a feeling of on the part of the disciple of gratitude. He's learning from the guru. He's asking questions and learning. Tadvidi pranipatenam. Pranipatenam means to humbly submit, to obey the guru out of love. When you identify with the guru, and then you recognize that his direction is valid for you. You think, he's directing me to go beyond this world of suffering, beyond this world of ruled by the laws of karma, to become free. So this is good instruction for me, good spiritual instruction. My guru is pointing out my spiritual potential. I'm not just limited to having some work in the material world and that's it, trying to derive some happiness by just doing some work in the world. There's higher activity, there's a higher eternal activity for me. And I'll find that when my heart is free from desire to enjoy and to gain things from this world. Now we have all kinds of mixed desires because of our mind and body. Srila Prabhupada said that when we have a spiritual body, we won't have mixed desires. We'll just have the desire to serve Krishna. So there'll be this purity that now we're only thinking of as a potential, something that we can achieve. We'll achieve purity. We'll just have the desire to serve Krishna. So now we have mixed desires. And we have to act in a way so that we get free of these desires and get out of the world. So naturally we want to serve those who are giving us this knowledge, some connection to the divine through knowledge. Pariprasnena, we can ask questions, not just for intellectual stimulation, but to be transformed into this kind of servant of Krishna, that the spiritual master is offering. So the disciple offers service, seva, with affection to the spiritual master. Pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. In this way he learns the truth from the spiritual master. Ananta Rupa was saying yesterday that when we have a spiritual master, this makes us qualified without our having to try to be qualified by following all kinds of other instructions. Rishabhadev gave 20 commands in a previous verse, strict commands that are to be followed. But the main instruction, the first one he gave, was to surrender to a guru. So that qualifies us. That's confirmed by previous acharyas like Srila Baladeva Vijayabhushan and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That by surrendering to a guru humbly, one can learn the truth. And by serving the spiritual master with affection, one will be controlled in such a way, one will be ruled in such a way that one will achieve freedom from this world. Arjuna had the same problem as we had. We have. Arjuna thought in terms of his own self-interest, in terms of his family and national interest. So he didn't want to fight. But Krishna wanted him to fight. Even though Arjuna had to kill his kinsmen, Arjuna changed his mind and he said, yes, Krishna's interest is better than the interest that I am thinking of. I'm thinking I'll go to hell, I'll be responsible for the destruction of society. But Krishna is saying something else. So he learned from Krishna, and his arguments were defeated. And so he took this interest of his spiritual master, Krishna. Krishna was acting as his spiritual master. Arjuna surrendered to him. Karpanyo dosho pahata swabhava prichami tvam dharma samuda chaitaha yat shreyasyan nischitam bruhitan me shishyas teham sharimam tvam prapanam. Shishyas, I'll become your disciple. I'll become controlled by you. Shishya means someone who's controlled by the guru. Therefore, the guru is one controller. The king is a controller. We have very little experience of a government or a king that is on the level of the spiritual master, a king who's enlightened and is going to lead all the citizens back home, back to Godhead. That's not very common nowadays. But when Rishabhadeva was teaching, that was not uncommon. So the government or the king or the guru would teach people the same thing, how to get free of entanglement in this world. And even though times have changed, the instructions don't change. We're living in Kali Yuga now, But the instructions don't change. The gurus don't change their instructions. Just like the sun doesn't change its position. It's rising in the east every day. It's not one day in the north, one day in the south. So we can count on the sun. And similarly, you can count on the guru's instruction. It doesn't change. He teaches the correct way to get the mercy of Krishna, to become free from desires for fruit of activities. So it's good to follow the advice of the spiritual master, and it's also good not to work hard just to get the results of work in this world. People nowadays are told by the government to have happiness, to have a good society. We all have to work very hard and enjoy the results of our work. But the spiritual masters don't advise that. Why should the spiritual master say that? That you shouldn't just work hard and try to enjoy the results. Why should he say that? Because that's not how you get the mercy of Krishna. Trying to enjoy the results of work in this world won't please Krishna. You'll come back to this world. Krishna doesn't want you to be stuck in this world. Rishabhadeva is speaking, and he said, why should someone lead a blind man to a well and then push him in the well? So Rishabhadeva is Krishna, and he's saying, you know, I'm not happy when someone is stuck in this world, when the leaders of this world, when the rulers of the world are misleading people. Krishna himself says this in the Bhagavad Gita, that there are two things. If you don't have faith in what Krishna is teaching, then you'll remain in the world of samsara. If you're not able to act according to Krishna's instructions, if you lack faith, then you'll just be stuck in this hole in this material world. So either you get the mercy of Krishna, or you go to hell, basically. If you take hell to be being in the material world, stuck in the material body. So our aim should be to obey the orders of the king or the spiritual master or the parent who can instruct us how to get out of this world. With a little bit of faith, we can take up this instruction. But those who are faithless, they can't. They can't follow. There's so many people who've, you know, gotten opportunities to learn about how to serve Krishna. They've gotten books by Srila Prabhupada. But they're not all becoming faithful devotees. They lack faith. They don't yet have the qualification of faithfulness. I was lucky when I first heard a lecture from a devotee. The very first lecture I heard was given by Shivananda in Heidelberg. Shivananda was an American devotee who went to Europe to avoid the draft, to avoid being drafted into the army in America. And he started some preaching, first in Amsterdam he tried, but then he went to Germany. And I met him in Heidelberg at the Hare Krishna Center one Sunday. I went for a Sunday program. And he gave a talk on the verse about watering the root of the tree. you automatically serve the branches and the leaves and the fruits and the flowers when you put water on the root. So this example is used to encourage someone to have faith in the process of serving Krishna. If you serve Krishna, who is the root of everything, Krishna is the origin of everything, then automatically you'll benefit everything, because everything is connected to Krishna. But the people who don't put their faith in this kind of scheme, it's because they're dull. They're not aware that they're suffering. They don't know what's causing their suffering. They're not aware that having the body is the cause of their problems. So the Maya, Krishna's energy Maya, is inflicting the suffering on people. Can you stand up? You have a body, and there's no education. Maya creates a situation in which there isn't an education, a spiritual education. There's political system, there's social system, there's economic system, but it's all meant to make you think, I just have to work in this world and try to derive happiness from doing my work well in this world, doing something good in this world. And that's my enjoyment. That's what people accept as enjoyment. But here the Rishabhadev is teaching, no, get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Desire to go to the abode of the Personality of Godhead. In this way, people's minds, people's brains are being cleansed. Cleansing of the heart, cleansing of the mind. Understanding these things. But sometimes, of course, there's a problem even with these controllers. Prabhupada pointed out that sometimes the guru, who's meant to control the people by leading them to the right path, sometimes you have bogus gurus, you have bogus sannyasis. He had experience in India of some sannyasis. He was very critical. Sometimes he named them, gave their names and said, this rascal is teaching that everyone is God. And don't worry about what the Shastra teaches. Some of these sannyasis were teaching like that. Don't worry about what the Shastra is saying. It's mythology, you know. You can do what you like because actually you're God. Sannyasis, so-called sannyasis, were misleading people in India. And Prabhupada was very, very determined to point out the fault of these modern sannyasis who were not even paying attention to the instructions in the Shastra and not teaching people what was in the Shastra. And as Kali Yuga progresses, you'll see more of this. People in spiritual positions, people in positions of government who don't know what to teach people anymore. There was a terrible report yesterday in the news from Canada. A judge in Canada, one lady in Canada who was a judge, had to hear an appeal. One woman who was 19 years old had been convicted twice of murdering her newborn baby. She delivered the baby and in her mother's home, and then strangled the baby with some underwear. She didn't want to you know, have the burden of taking care of the baby. And then she took the baby outside and threw it in the neighbor's yard. And she was fined for throwing the baby in the neighbor's yard. That was considered not to be not a good thing. But she was let off by the woman judge, not held accountable for murder or killing the baby, because she was deemed to be too much in distress. She was just a 19-year-old girl, and she was worried how she'd be able to take care of this baby. It was too much of a burden. So just like an abortion is legal, the judge ruled that killing this baby was legal, and this woman was not to be considered criminal. So this is how the whole system is breaking down. The kings are no longer controlling the citizens properly. The illusion is so strong, the material illusion, that you know we can adjust this world for our happiness. And people don't know. Let's meditate on the supreme satyam param, satyam, the supreme truth. Let me satyam param dhimahi. Let me meditate on Krishna's world. Let me find happiness there. Not here in this world. Krishna says, here you'll only find temporary happiness and misery. Dukalayam ashashvatam. So Krishna gives us an alternative. If you don't want this temporary misery, then come to me. Don't just think you'll be happy in this ocean of suffering. Imagine if someone took us on a bus over to the ocean and said, okay, let's go out in the boat, and now let's jump off the boat, and the boat's going to leave, and we'll just swim and be happy in the ocean. Who would accept that idea? I'm not going to jump in the ocean. How long can I swim in the ocean? I won't last. I'll drown. Even if I'm an expert swimmer. But people are struggling for existence like this, in the ocean of material life, and they're calling it enjoyment. And they're encouraged by people. Oh, you can improve your condition. Don't worry. You just work hard and you'll improve your condition. I didn't believe it. When I was a student and I was at the point of having to decide what kind of position I would have in society, I was thinking, I'm not going to get into this system. The system is that, you know, you just work hard and get some money and then you can enjoy, you can spend your money. And I thought, this is not right. But I didn't really know. I mean, I just became a hippie. I dropped out. But then I got in touch with the devotees and I learned a philosophical reason why this is not true. And that is that we get enjoyment, we get suffering based on our previous karma. We're destined to enjoy, we're destined to gain or lose or suffer according to what we've done in the past. So Krishna says, gain will come to you spontaneously. Some gain you'll automatically get. Some happiness you'll automatically get. So be satisfied with that. Don't try to increase your happiness artificially by working hard and spending the money. Use your energy to serve Krishna, to serve me. That's what Krishna says. So the gurus and the kings, they're trying to stop the people from this idea that if I just work hard, I'll enjoy it. I'll make a plan to be happy in this world. The gurus and the kings and the parents, they tell the children and the citizens and the shishyas, this is not going to work. You don't require a big education so that you can work hard. You don't require a big university education. You're going to get some happiness, you're going to get some suffering, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to enjoy sex life. You don't need an education for that. These things will come naturally. But the big Asuric civilization wants to encourage everyone to become like, you know, a Class A enjoyer. But the gurus and the kings and the parents, Rishabhdev says, they should forbid this. You might become a big man today. You might be able to organize your life so that it seems like you're important. You organize a job, a family, property, income, and then it seems, oh, you're a big man today. But how long will that last? It'll be finished. You can't become happy that way by some temporary arrangement. That's why the gurus forbid it. That's why the kings forbid it. And you don't know the cost. The cost of that is you'll become a dog in your next life, maybe. So don't go that way. But rather try to place your faith in spiritual master and be connected with Krishna's mercy. Any questions? Sure. I heard you say that Jayananda worked hard, and I might think that I don't have to work so much. I might hear from the devotees, don't work so hard in this world. So then I think, okay, I'll be happy without working hard. Yes, and then? Unless we have the desire for Krishna, unless we're willing to work hard for Krishna, we won't achieve the happiness. We might miss that point. Yeah, we have to have this feeling that Krishna is my life and soul, and I should dedicate all my energy. Any other comments? Yes, Mark? Yeah, the question a person might ask is, well, how did it work in previous times? How was the economy set up? The king was just telling people, don't work hard. How did things go on? And this question came up, of course, also in the 60s and 70s. People were saying to the devotees, you know, why don't you have a job? What do you think this is? You know, you have to organize society. Yeah, but the... The Krishna conscious society is not organized in the same way as societies that are organized by persons who are bereft of spiritual vision, you know. The cows are protected, not slaughtered. And so the economy is on a pious footing and not an impious economy. In this impious economy, people are thinking, I can work, you know, two or three jobs if I want. I can earn as much money as I want. I can work two shifts. I can devote my whole life to just working hard, but with no higher goal than just enjoying the results of the work. So things are highly developed, you know, in terms of getting things done. There's so much work to build things that, like big skyscrapers. When the World Trade Center towers were being built, Prabhupada was commenting, why do they need 110 stories? You can live comfortably, and sometimes it's just two or three stories. But they do this very difficult work of building such a big thing to show that, you know, that they become important, and they have the knowledge how to do it. They're becoming the masters, and so it's and then it just becomes, it gets knocked down, and you know, some enemy comes along and says, forget it. And it's much different. I mean, a more natural economy, a more natural social life, more natural political climate. These things are eluding us. And we have improved in some ways. Material advancement has improved standards. We've made the material world more livable in some ways, huh? So then Prabhupada said, okay, so we can use those things in Krishna's service, but to make the pursuit of that material good standard, the goal of life, that's the mistake. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Yeah, there are certain groups in society that are, you know, meant to work more than others. Mm-hmm. Yeah, natural organization means some people are more dedicated to the spiritual line of activity than others are more interested in commerce and farming and agriculture. Yes, more questions? Ananta? Yeah, one should work for the all-pervading Lord and then reach perfection. You can do your work, but not blindly, so that you just become, you remain entangled. I think we'll stop there. Any other discussion we can have after? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.